They say you can't go home again. And they also say you can't start an episode 2 weeks in a row with that dude. We're talking about Night in the Woods. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to your new favorite show, The More You Nerd, where we are back spinning the wheel of indies as we are playing indie games one at a time based on random chance. My name is Drew, and I need the knife-wielding, cigarette-smoking animal person that I'm best friends with, Miles. How are you, my friend?
Crimes.
Oh man. So yeah, we played this week, technically for a couple of weeks here, Night in the Woods, 2017 single player game that is sort of 2D, and it is really a narrative choice based game, and that's going to factor in heavily with what we talk about. So
yeah, with some light side scrolling and some light exploration elements to it, exactly how I want to experience stories like this. Like, we'll get to some of this later, but like there's stuff in here that I'm like, oh man, I wish some of this was in the big con. Like,
yeah, I also think that a lot of this comes together, but some of it is a little, doesn't land for me necessarily. I just want to say, I think we need to make it, we should have probably had this agreement off air, but there's kind of a reveal at the end, and do you want to save that reveal?
We'll see. I mean, it's been building towards something the entire time. It's not exactly what you think it is, but like, it's also like, it fits.
Yeah, yeah.
And this game is a little bit older. And the reason we obviously were delayed is because I had technical difficulties, because while I own this on Steam, apparently there is some sort of weird thing where the controls will not work for it. And it's a known issue. Some people have been able to get it kind of, goof around with things and get to work. I could not. I followed a couple different things, but I also didn't want to deep dive. I'm not that much of a jacking into the matrix kind of person when it comes to like botting and doing things like that. And I don't really play on my PC. Yeah. Luckily, this coincides, and I'm going to kind of be reviewing a little bit of this, but also I know you have this peripheral. It happened to coincide with me getting my PlayStation Portal, and this game is on PS Plus. Yeah. So which I played this game. Which
is consequently where I played it. So
I played this game in its entirety on my Portal, which I did finish. I know you said you did not get to complete it, right?
I mean, don't give it away, but yeah,
we always talk about this at the top of the show, of like how much we got through.
I didn't complete it, but because I didn't know whether you're going to be able to record last Monday or not in preparation, I looked up what happens at the very end. So
I read the wiki thing, and like literally like a single sentence, right? You spend several days in Possum Springs. That several days is the crux of the game. That one sentence is like, no, the bulk of your experience is that.
It's like 4 or 5 days in the game. Yeah.
Yeah. It's several days. I think it's mentioned maybe a week or something, but like all the text you can get from the wiki summary is like in the last, like little bit of the game.
Yeah.
Everything else is more of the experience on the way, but, so this is another case where I feel like I have to eat my words, because I don't know if we covered it on the show, but because I know we used to cover these states of plays and E3s and all that stuff a lot more frequently than we don't do it at all anymore. Yeah. I thought the PS Portal was the most useless piece of junk they could have possibly ever announced. And from what I heard at launch, it kind of was.
Well, yeah, it was. So when it was at launch, because I had a couple of coworkers that picked one up and loved The Thing. It's the only reason I really even considered one, because I use PlayStation Remote Play a lot, but I'm doing it on a tablet. I'm doing it on a phone. I'm doing it on another computer in the same house connected to wired internet. And it's like, how could this thing be any better than just doing that? And well, a couple months ago, they made a huge update to it that allows you to stream games from PlayStation Plus over the internet. And at least when it comes to indie games like Night in the Woods, that is an excellent, excellent platform. And actually streaming from the PS5 itself, it's like, oh man, this is way better than using the Remote Play app on a phone or on a tablet or on another computer. I was very, very surprised at how well it worked.
Yeah, so I typically download my games and then I do the streaming. But I think one cool thing about the Portal is that it feels like a PlayStation controller in your hands with a screen, which is exactly what it is. It is extremely light. It doesn't have that much processing to do it because it's just streaming. So there's not a lot of power that it requires,
And that's a big thing because we also love our Steam Decks. I was playing.
Yeah.
I was playing a game on my Steam Deck just a little while ago.
I saw you're playing the greatest game of all time.
One of them. If the voice of Clive Rossfeld from Final Fantasy 16 has anything to say about it, it's the best game of all time. But I don't.
The only reason I might think to play that game.
I don't always agree with that. But I love the Steam Deck. It's just kind of heavy, and the PlayStation Portal is not. It is so light, and of course, it's not doing much. It's not right. You're not playing the game really on the Portal at all. You're streaming it from either the internet or from a PS5, which
basically a PlayStation controller with like Bluetooth and a screen, which is still phenomenal. And I guess I did not expect. I mean, it has a couple of quirks, but like I did not expect it to work as smoothly as it did. And because it's lighter and doesn't have to use as much power to process things, its battery life is extremely impressive.
It is. I honestly, the only real complaint I have about it is it will connect to like the Sony PlayStation headsets, like the Sony branded things, the wireless ones, which is cool. But if you just want to use a regular pair of headphones, it took me 2 days to find the headphone jack.
And then it takes you 2 days to like actually yank the damn thing out.
it's really tight in there. It took me a couple of attempts to get headphones plugged into it, and
yeah,
I've just kind of left them plugged in since.
I totally feel that way, and even sometimes charging it. Yeah, the inputs are a little tight. Also, at least for me, and this might have been an issue. I don't think so, but if I choose to, I'm going to go ahead and start downloading this game on my PlayStation and then go back to my game. Yeah, it doesn't like that at all. It tests the limits of the machine itself, not the PlayStation. I mean, and so sometimes the connection gets spottier because it's trying to download a, 60 gig game.
Yeah.
Cause I thought, I never actually played the last Uncharted game. I'm going to do that. And the PlayStation was like, yo, calm down. But I was really, really impressed. It felt great. The screen is phenomenal. I do wish it didn't come at blinding light out the box. they had the brightness turned all the way up, and it was dark when I first turned it on, and I did not appreciate that. I'm excited to try out some more powerful games. I downloaded Uncharted and SD Gundam Alliance because I've heard it's a really fun game, and I'm like,
I played a lot of that game, and that game is real, real fun until it gets real fiddly. SD Gundam Alliance is a great game. It's in PS Plus right now. I love that game.
Yeah. I'm gonna play it for free, so
it's got a fantastic style. As you get towards the end game, it gets like all of a sudden there's a huge power jump that makes you have to go back and replay a lot.
Is it kind of like in a Like a Dragon where all of a sudden you have to fight, was it Majima? And I was pretty high level through most of the game, comparatively. And I get to that one fight and I'm TPK all day.
I think it's worse because there's no real... The problem is there's no real good way to power level in that game versus running one level with one loadout the exact same way over and over and over again.
Oh, that's rough.
Because you have to build up credits to upgrade things. But honestly, outside of that, I love that game. I also picked up the DLC, and the DLC kind of jumps,
helps.
It kind of helps, but you know, I don't know if that's included in the PS Plus version, but
I'll find out. And the main reason that is our buddy Mike, former co-host of the show, had gotten a PS Portal as well, and he talked about how it was great for when he was watching sports, and baseball season is starting next week, and the March Madness, which is the one time these days I check into college basketball, and especially since Wofford is in round one.
Let's go, Terriers.
Drew and I will be paying a lot of attention at 6:50 p.m. on Thursday as they take on the Tennessee Volunteers. But he says it's great to have in the same way that, you know, any other handheld is. And I have a lot of PlayStation games that I've not gotten around to. I have games that I have downloaded. My PlayStation doesn't get a ton of play, mostly because it's in the office in which I work. And sometimes I just don't want to be in that room. But if I can go out into the living room,
just move it.
There's reasons for that. And so I finally just buckled and bought one of these things, because a lot of people ask you, oh, is it a necessary purchase? Absolutely not.
No, not necessary.
It is such a niche thing. I happen to fall into that niche. And I wanted to spend a little time to talk about that. Like, if you fall into that, this thing's a really good player.
You know, I spent 190 something hours in Metaphor ReFantazio recently, and I didn't have my PlayStation Portal then. But if I had my PlayStation Portal then, that would have been a perfect.
Like I said, baseball season is starting next week, and I'm going to get back into Metaphor, and I am going to be having a great time.
All right, well, let's get to today's game, Night in the Woods, put out by basically a small group of people that came together. I'm not going to go into all of that because it's not even really a company. It was just a group of people that came together to do something. And really...
Yeah, it's wild because, like, even at the end of credits, it's the shortest end credits I've had in a while.
But it is a narrative-focused 2D... platformer-esque-ish game. Yeah, I don't even really think... I mean, you could call it a platformer because there's platforming elements, but those platforming elements aren't like...
It's a side-scroller exploration platforming game.
Yeah. And it focuses on a young woman named May, who is returning home to her town of Possum Springs after effectively dropping out of college.
Yes.
And she...
That's where the game starts out. The game starts out with you arriving at the bus station at night as you have just returned from college.
And
your parents neglect to pick you up.
and your parents thought you were coming home on a different night, and so they don't pick you up. So you've had to walk home through the woods and almost died because of jumping on a log that fell. But even in there, and this is where I do like that it kind of it teaches you how to play the game, and that you're standing around in the bus terminal, it's just you and a guy working on the door, so you can't even leave because he's working on the door, and so you have
very sarcastic guy door
and so you have kind of options that you can do or you don't have to do. So one of the first things I did was I saw that there was a TV on the wall, and I walked over and I watched it, and you just get like a little cutscene of whatever TV shows are playing. It doesn't do anything for the game. It's just, you know, extra. And this is where we say when we call it narrative focused, it's that kind of stuff. This is a game that you can just go through point A, point B, point C, and do all the stuff you're supposed to do. But the most rewarding thing for this is doing the stuff that is off the beaten path.
And I wish that I could have played this game for 2 weeks, because I did kind of speed a little bit because I knew I wanted to get done before we recorded. And so I did kind of, you know, miss out on some opportunities. But also, so May returns home and kind of reconnects with four specific friends. Other characters get connected too, but like the core group is May, her, I guess, kind of like former friend, but like rekindling friend, B.
B, who is a crocodile who is constantly smoking.
Constantly smoking. At first, I thought it was a lollipop because it looked like a different color. And then when I saw the orange constantly, I was like, in the dark, I was like, okay, no, it's a cigarette. Yeah, it's a goth croc, which is great. You have Greg, who is a fox, I think. Mm-hmm. Angus, who is Greg's boyfriend. Yeah,
Greg, who is highly excitable.
Highly excitable and wants to do nothing but crimes. And I, like, his relationship with May, like, seems to exist on their propensity for loving getting into trouble. And they do a thing that only best friends could do, which is, like, constantly insult each other. And it's just a game of, like, one-upmanship and, like, just poking. Which, oh, you and I are familiar with.
Yeah, but that's the thing. But to say that there is stuff that you can miss, this game has, of course, plays out via multiple days that you can do stuff, and you can only have, like, once you, there's like a whole bunch of stuff that's optional that you can do, but once you pick the person that you're going to hang out with that day, that's the story that goes through. And
very Persona.
Yeah, but as a result, if you choose to spend the day with one person, that means you're not spending it with the other person. And it's B and Greg that are the two main ones there. And honestly, it's kind of encourages you to play through the game multiple times so that you can see all of B's story and all of Greg's story as part of
it. Yeah.
This.
And I think I missed one day of hanging out with B, which is, between a fight that she and May have, and I would have really liked to have, like, gotten the follow-up to that confrontation, because they had this one fight and you're like, oh, I really need to see what happens here.
Yeah.
And they have a couple fights, one specific white fight early in the game, and I think because of the way she talks at a certain scene, I was like, oh, she probably doesn't want to talk to my character, I'm gonna go hang out with Greg. And so I probably missed on something there, and it's one of the good and bad things.
I pushed the issue and I hung out with B that day. So,
oh, nice. I mean, I still got, so my story went through with B. Once I figured out that's what the game was doing, I was like, oh, I'm just going to hang out with B. And because I want to see where this is going.
Yeah.
Outside of investigating ghost stuff with Greg once, which was hilarious.
So we talk about this game, and really this game, it's so much about, and I have lived through this, not necessarily in college, but after college,
mm-hmm.
You know, where you go and you are really having your first taste of not being in your hometown. It's the first big,
right,
different thing, at least I say for me, from my experience, my parents still live in the house I grew up in. It is a tiny little house in my hometown that, you know, we were close to a city, so we weren't super, super rural like this town is. But the town is
as much a character as any of the characters in the game,
which is such a dumb thing to say. But in a game like this, it really is, because as you're talking to these characters, you sort of unlock different things about it. So we've learned that the mine in the town that was the principal source of income for most of the town closed several years ago, and as a result, people have lost their jobs, and that has meant a lot of different things for a lot of different characters, including May's parents, and how that sort of plays out, which is, like, it's weird because it's like, oh, that sentence that you're having in this conversation between May and May's dad is very trauma coded, but we're not going to unpack that right now. We're just going to let you think about that in the background of all of these other things.
This game does a phenomenal job of kind of tapping into the existential dread of being a post high school human being.
Yeah.
Because I know what you're talking about. I mean, especially when you graduate college and you know you don't have something set up and you kind of come home or go wherever and you're like, what am I doing?
Oh, I lived at home for a year after college because my girlfriend was still in college. So
you should have just broken up with her.
Yeah, I'm out. for new
I'm kidding, Rebecca. Yeah,
for new listeners, that's my current wife.
My current just in part one.
We'll talk about Night in the Woods part two later on. No, but what I love about it is sort of I do think it's again it wasn't my experience because I came home. You know, I did summers.
Yeah,
home.
This wasn't my experience either. But it taps into something. It's like a lot of coming of age stories tend to take place within the teenage years. Right. And this one is in that kind of, and this happened a lot in the early 90s with some of the Gen X stories that were coming out in films and books.
Yeah.
This feels like that a little bit, more of a millennial version.
And also it reminded me of the movie Cars, which is so dumb.
The Pixar film?
Yeah. So people give Cars a hard time.
I like 1 and 3 a lot.
I still haven't seen 3. 2 is
great.
Cars 2 is garbage and
yes.
Probably the worst thing that Pixar has ever done as a company.
I would agree. I mean, I don't hate it, but like, I don't like it either.
Yeah. Well, you didn't have to watch it multiple times a week for 3 years. So I have a particular hatred of Cars 2. But it's sort of like this town that the one thing that this town had was gone. And similarly, they talk about the train line that was built that bypasses the town completely, which is what reminds me of Cars. But the thing that was the most interesting and like sort of attaches to you, one of the first things that you talk about with somebody in the town is the stores that have closed and the stores that have opened. And how a lot of the, I can't remember if this is the one that opened or closed, the Food Panther.
That was the one that closed.
The Food Panther
it's just a great, great gag.
If I don't know how far the brand I'm about to talk about extended, but in the South,
you talking about Food Lion?
Yeah, in the southeast of the United States. In the more, I would say, not even like the farther out suburbs and into the more rural areas, Food Lions as a grocery store become more prevalent. And that is, and to have one of the first things that
you went to college about a mile from one.
Yeah. When I hear Food Panther and it's like that has to be a reference to Food Lion because what else could it be a reference?
Oh, it absolutely is. There are so many like specific cuts here where I'm like, oh, I see what you're doing. But beyond that, I think the character work in this is so good. But it's not just like this, you know, extremely emotional, heartfelt and heart-wrenching game. It is that, but also this game is hilarious. Like there are so many times where I almost dropped my portal because I was cracking up. The teens. Did you get to go in the graveyard and have to get through the teens being the gatekeepers of the gate graveyard?
Yeah.
And the story that May has to come up with, that whole sequence is just like hilarious.
Well, there is one moment, and this is, and I do want to talk about May as a character when I talk about this, but there is a moment where it's after you and B have had a big fight and you end up going to the old mall in town.
I love that. I love that so much.
I mean, I worked at a mall multiple years mm-hmm. of my life as an adult too. And the mall that I worked in is a shell of what it was just 10 years ago.
The mall that actually, I think the mall that I'd be referring to just got sold. I think it's still open, but you know, Westgate Mall in Spartanburg.
Yeah.
But there are so many things about Possum Springs that kind of, like, to me, it was like, oh, this is the alternate version of where I grew up. Because so Spartanburg, for those who don't know, was a textile town. And when the textiles, the mills started kind of falling apart, there was like one big textile company that kind of still stuck around called Milliken, but all the other ones fell apart. Those have now been gentrified and are now like really cool hangouts and pizza places and have fancy names. Or they're like haunted locations for urban explorers named Miles.
I mean, just to say, that's not just in Spartanburg. That's all.
Oh, I know it's not
over.
I know. That's why
South Carolina and Georgia.
Because in the 90s, you know, Spartanburg hat was kind of having this revitalization, and the BMW came in, which brought a lot of other businesses to help anchor the area, even though it wasn't specifically Spartanburg. Spartanburg was, I mean, about 6 years away from being Possum Springs.
Yeah.
If that had not happened in the mid 90s. So like, while I didn't live it, like growing up, I saw that as being a possibility in this game. So I'm like, oh, these kids are living like an alternate version of my life.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, so this is where, when I went to the mall, this was a funny bit for me, which is what got me on this altogether. And this is honestly where I started to have a turn in my relationship with the character of May, because I hadn't done a day with Greg yet. I had just done one with, you know, other than the stuff that you kind of go through. So, but I'll get to that. Basically, there's a shoplifting mechanic in this game. It is. Of the gameplay elements that are not narrative focused, this is one of the few ones that exists in this game. And basically you go and you're going to this store that's effectively a Hot Topic, which...
You Revolution.
Yeah. And it's so funny because when you walk in there with B makes fun of the store completely. Until you look over and see that the shirt that B is wearing is on sale in the store. And it's so funny.
And she even talks about liking this band and that band. And it's great because, like, I feel like kids that age have that reaction to that kind of stuff.
Yeah. But they're all like 20, 21, you know, it's
still
like
kids.
Still kids to me. Yeah. Half my age. But so you steal something and then you're trying to get B to steal something. And this is, you know, I'm me, I know me. And I'm like, this is where, you know, you might have a different association with the scene, but the funny part of it is that May's like, I'll distract the guy so you can steal this belt buckle or whatever it is. And,
it's belt buckle.
And May says, and if the story that I'm telling isn't compelling enough, I'll just scream. And I told the story so poorly that I just had options to scream.
No.
So it sounds like you told a better story than I did, because my May had to scream for me to steal that.
Some of these kids felt very much like me and my friends sometimes. I was not a shoplifter, but like, I certainly liked getting into mischief.
Yeah. But that's the thing about this game that I really like as well, especially in the early moments of the game, is because you have May, who we know that she has some level of intelligence. She was accepted to college and
first in her family.
First in her family to go to college. So that was either a sacrifice of her parents financially, or she had some scholarships, you know, all of this stuff. And so she goes off. She's not the only person to go off. We're introduced to a couple other characters that are also went off, but they seem to be having a much better time being off. But when she comes back, it's really interesting when the two characters that you're really focused on are Greg, who does not appear to have changed much on the surface.
Greg and Angus are essentially Jay and Silent Bob as a couple.
Yeah. I like Angus a lot.
I love Angus. Angus is great.
But you have B, who is sort of the mirror. And this is why I stuck with B most of the time, because unlike May, she, just as smart, didn't get to leave town.
Yeah.
And there was a moment, we got to talk about the party. And then we
got to talk about the party. We got to talk about a couple things, but let's talk about May for just a second, yeah. Because I think one criticism I do have with this game is we know that May is going through something mentally. That is something that's kind of presented up front, although not explicitly said.
Yeah.
I feel like this game does suffer from the same issues that a lot of independent kind of coming of age films do, where you want to say something with your protagonist, but you kind of make them extremely unlikable at the beginning in a way that's really off-putting. And well, May is fine, but once she gets into certain situations and is too aloof, being aloof is one thing, but being this like exaggerated version of it, I think is detrimental to what we find out later about the character.
Well, let me spin that then, because I sort of saw where May was coming from a lot, you know, going out not
I feeling, did.
Well, let me finish what I'm saying. I kind of saw where she was coming from. It was honestly the first thing that really made me turn on her was not necessarily the aloofness, because that just I could read that as just being like, I'm uncomfortable, so I'm going to act aloof. But it was the making B steal that was like, who is this character? Who is this person? And we had seen that there is some sort of deep-seated we've had the first dream sequence that is you know, May basically taking a baseball bat to things and breaking cars and tearing down this giant
wheel. Yeah, I kind of thought that would be something that happens more often. You get the baseball bat like twice in the game, and I was like, man, I would have liked more times the baseball bat.
Yeah. but that was the thing where it's like, and we've also already been told of this weird event that happened between May and some other kid in town that nobody talks about, except that she's also got the nickname Killer. Which is not the most interesting or clever nickname, but
yeah.
But it was so I was kind of aligned with May a lot until the stealing thing. And of course, you know, then you go with Greg and you learn a lot more about the two of them and what they got up to.
Anytime Greg just says crimes. It's so good.
But I also thought that was really an interesting thing that you have this sort of multi-leveled character. It's just in my particular playthrough of how I played the game, that moment of May having just learned the information that she had learned about B, forcing her to do something that she didn't want to do, seemed weird. And
there, yes, I agree with that. I also think so. We kind of are led early on to believe that certainly something is going on mentally with May. And she's flat out said that it wasn't a certain, what, she wasn't assaulted or she's not pregnant. Like that's a conversation she has as to why she left college. I would have liked, and I think this would have helped me a little bit more. Like I do love the character now, having kind of gone through everything.
Yeah.
And seeing some, I think more seeds needed to be planted about what was going on with May outside of vague references. Like, you didn't have to tell me, but like, let me have some moments with May by herself to kind of get a feel, because like, you get it early on in that she doesn't remember things, like specifically that B's mom died in high school.
Yeah, that is a huge moment that We really need to talk about the lead up to the party and the party and the drive home.
Which party are we talking about?
The first party.
Okay.
So again, it's early days. May's back home. She finds out through... we've also forgotten to mention that B, Greg, and Angus are all in a band together that May also used to be in. And so they do band practice periodically.
It's my least favorite part of the game.
Hated it. I was terrible at it.
And again, I am very bad at rhythm games like this, and especially the button pushing kind. I know that is a whole genre that people are super, super into. I am not, and I was awful.
Which, again, makes sense that May, the first time you do a song, May is like, I don't know this song. You know I don't know this song.
but that could have been a purposeful thing on their part. Some of the things they ask you to do, you're like, I just saw someone like 200% speed do Dragon Force at 100% perfect. Yeah. So I mean, I know that there are people that can do that, but like, I was awful.
So we've also to this point ignored a big part of the game itself. And that's May's sketchbook.
Oh yeah, yeah.
She has a notebook that she draws sketches in. I'm introducing that now because one thing I do know is that based on how well you do in the song at band practice, the image that May draws in the book about that song changes.
Interesting.
Yes. Based on how well or poorly she does.
I did not know that. Okay.
Yeah. So, but the sketchbook plays out because almost everything you do in the game that has like a moment to it, May draws something. And sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's, you know, silly, sometimes it's dark. And really that just... That actually goes into what you learn about May as a character down the line in the game and why she has that and why she's doing all of that. But to get back to this party that we keep dancing around, this is early moments in the game. This is so that we're going to spoil this, but it's going to be, you know, whatever. You've heard about a bunch of stuff in town. There are a bunch of optional characters in the town that you can talk to, which is really cool. Like Selmers, who...
the poet.
Selmers the poet, but Selmers had also had their own dark past and stole from the pharmacy that they worked at, and you know all this, and it rewards you for again going and talking to some of these people multiple times throughout the course of the game. But so you've learned, but you also find out about this guy that May kind of had something going on with in high school, but it clearly ended badly and nobody's gonna say anything about it. And so you find out that there's going to be this party in the woods, and you're sort of inclined to go. You're sort of talked into going. It's a whole thing. And this is where the game did its first big jump for me that I was like, I don't know about this. Like, you don't really dress up for, get ready for the party, and it's basically involves you just looking exactly the same as you always do, except you stand in a mirror and talk down to yourself in multiple ways before the party.
I wish there was a dressing mechanic in this game.
it was a situation where it's like, I see what the game is trying to do with May not, you know, loving herself right now, not being her own biggest fan. I just thought it was a little... I felt like it tried to push the needle too much. It didn't read as too believable for me in that moment. And then then she goes to the party. And the party mechanic is, again, much like the bus station, that I really enjoyed the party mechanic. I thought it was hilarious. Because
yeah, it was great.
May is at this party. There's like a bonfire and a trash can. There's people sitting around on picnic tables. There's a keg on a picnic table. There's a dude in the background playing guitar poorly. And if you look at him, you know, there's a whole dialogue. And the whole thing is basically like, go talk to people. And you try to go talk to somebody and you kind of back off. And then you go talk to Greg and Angus, and they're like, all right, you need to go socialize. Go have a beer. And so you don't talk to anybody until you go and get a beer. And then there's this building thing to where May has... Oh, and by the way, the guy that she had this thing with back in high school is also at this party. He's also home from college. But she has to work up the nerve to talk to him. And because of that, she drinks 3 beers and gets completely wasted because she doesn't like beer. And that is when she tries to talk to him and has a terrible, terrible experience, at which point B steps in and is like, I'm going to drive you home. And it was the drive home that I was like, this conversation, this moment in this is, I want to say, incredible. It was a fantastic character moment between the two of them, where basically B, who has been sort of cold to May the entire time, despite the fact that we get moments like when we meet B in the first place in her sketchbook, she writes Maybe, M-A-E, which is her name, and B-E-A, which is B's name. And it's like, oh, that's an interesting pet name that they didn't land on at all. They didn't bring it up. They didn't mention it. And it's, as we learned, they were friends when they were little, little kids. And May keeps having this conversation about the hardware store that B is now working in and seemingly managing and all this stuff. And B's kind of like, yeah, well, we couldn't all get out of town like you did. And it is at that point that we learned that May has, like we mentioned earlier, May has forgotten that B's mom died while they were in high school, and B's dad, as a result, had a breakdown. So B had to take over their family store. And that's what she's been doing the entire time. She has not had the life that she wanted. She has had the life that she was forced into, while May gets to go off to college and have this thing and can't hack it and is coming back home. And so there's a real interesting resentment there between these two people that have known each other for their entire lives. And to have that moment just hit, it's like, wow, that is some heavy, heavy stuff. Yeah,
I absolutely agree. I just, it's one of those moments where, like, until we really find out what's going on with May at the end of the story, it that's what gives her that degree of unlikability, because you're like, are you just being callous? Are you being drunk and stupid? Are you, like, how did you forget that your friend's mom is dead?
Yeah.
And it's one of those things, and like, because even B is kind of like shocked by it. And like B kind of, like, the more you hang out with her, like, it becomes like one of my favorite characters in the entire story. For sure, I think B's great.
Yeah.
Like, I love Greg and his shenanigans. Don't get me wrong. There are so many great things, but I do think that dichotomy of, like, they feel like those two friends who have, like, you know, kind of that ghost world type of situation.
I've never seen Ghost
World. And do what?
I've never seen Ghost World.
Oh, or read the comic or anything.
Yeah.
Well, just you have these two friends, and it's not even a haves or haves not. It's you have the one semi-loop person who does not appreciate or understand what they have, and the one person who is kind of busting their ass to get even close to that situation.
Exactly.
Which is what's happening here.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what's going on with May until pretty much the end of the story, there are times where, like, that, like, that's where the aloofness kind of becomes a little bit of a detriment. And I would have liked, I understand that that's a facet of these kind of stories, but I would have liked something to kind of get me to be like, well, and I don't need to know what happened. I honestly, I love how the reveal happens when they're, there's a segment where they're both lying on a couch and they're just talking.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful moment. There's so many beautiful moments in this game. Like, we haven't even talked about May's relationship with her parents, who are basically your morning and night person to talk to if you choose to.
If you choose to. her parents are, and the parents' conversation is so wild, especially as, like, your dad early on, or I can't remember if he says it or if she says it about him, and it has to do with the closing of the mine, but, like, she just drops this bomb of, like, whoa, that's why dad doesn't drink anymore. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, yeah, there's so many great moments like that. And there was one thing that, like, I looked later because I didn't want to spoil myself. I kept trying to figure out how to get dad to move the stuff from the closet.
I never got it to happen. I didn't.
Apparently, you have to watch TV with him every night. And then it's character stuff that's rewarding, that connects to stuff that you found in the library and stuff you know about her family, especially a conversation with you have that you have with your dad at the end of the game. And I think that's what makes this game so replayable, because it's not that you're trying to, like, fight a new boss a different way. It's, no, you want to know the ins and outs of every facet of this town. And because there's so many different dialogue trees, like, there are conversations, I don't know, like, I know for the fact they made everything choice based for a reason, and that there are things you can and can't do based off what you do or don't do. So, like, if I had chosen to hang out with Greg every day, I would have gotten none of this stuff with B.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the situation would have happened. And then there's people like that. I don't know if there's a story about, there's a random homeless dude that hangs outside of town named Bruce, that is friends or becomes friendly with the town pastor. And there's this whole idea that, like, the pastor's like, there's a bunch of, like, unused homes here, and there are some people that like could use help around with their stuff. We should basically kind of sponsor him,
yeah,
and allow him to move into town. And I know there is at one point supposed to be a town vote. I don't know if that's something you can attend or if that's just a story moment.
Exactly. And it's like, and again, it, like we said earlier, it's like when you choose, and it rewards multiple playthroughs, because again, you went through the story with B, but you also spent some time with Greg. So you've missed out on some B story and you miss out on some Greg story. It rewards you for replaying the game.
Zero story with Greg. The one time I hung out with Greg, we were breaking light bulbs outside of the parking lot. And that's the second time you use the baseball bat, is Greg is throwing light, fluorescent lights at you to hit, and then every now and then throwing a can at your, like, gut, so, like, real fast, so that, like, think fast. That is the entire hangout. I don't want to, like, spoil, like, jokes and stuff. This game is, like, I cannot stress enough how funny this game can be. And, like, even in dire moments, and it's usually Greg, but, like... there's so many heartwarming moments. There's so much about, like, the found family you make with the friends at certain points of your life that means so much to you.
Yeah.
And I think the beautiful thing about this game is, like, you know, you don't resolve everything. It's just like life. And, like, yeah, it's not so slice of life that doesn't have a through thread. Like, it kind of gives you somewhat of an ending, like, that's somewhat definitive, but, like, the idea of, like, of, yeah, we are, you know, specks of dust. It's like, but that is a problem for another day. Let's have band practice.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Or, like, I guess semi spoilers for the end of this game, but it's like that the end result is not somehow convincing May not to go back to college.
I expected. So here's the thing, though. The character arc that May goes on and the development that she makes and the self-discovery that she has and the way she kind of not fixes herself, but certainly kind of reawakens as a human, as a person. I'm led to believe that she's going to go back. Like I am the way that she talks. And she may not want to. She may do, like, she also wants to, like, force B to, like, leave town for a little bit and see the world and have a road trip. But I'm not convinced that she stays in town. I feel like she probably tries to find a way that she and B can leave town together.
Yeah. I think there's also some stuff about some other characters based on, like, if you continue with Greg's story, that there are some...
I'm just assuming. I haven't read anything. I'm assuming you find out more about Casey, who is the a character that you were told is missing at the very beginning, who was a friend of y'all's. And was certainly a friend of Greg's. Because like you find like the missing person folder or flyers in town, which I'm guessing is that all you can do to that stand is just move that stuff around.
I couldn't figure out anything else to do.
Okay, I didn't know if there was anything that was to it. Although I think I got a trophy for like moving the ball of yarn or something, which I thought was a little on the nose for a cat.
Yeah, which I played with it for a little bit because I was like, oh, maybe I'll get to take this ball of yarn. But I think they're actually supposed to be humans. They're just...
See, that's what I wanted to ask you. So this is a very well-designed game. I will say, I don't think they needed to be anthropomorphic animals. I think I would have been perfectly fine with them being humans.
I agree with you. I think the idea is like, I like the art style of this game a lot.
I do too.
It's moody. It's atmospheric. It's cute. And
the idea that it's anthropomorphic animals for adults. This is certainly an adult, a sophisticated story. And I do like that.
I think it also belies the thing because these animals look, despite the fact that they're all dark colors and things like that, they look a bit cutesy and this game is not that cutesy in a lot of things. There's a little expectation shifting because of that.
Sure.
But I think there's also an element to it where when you look at, when we as human beings look at animal characters, we kind of subconsciously associate nature to it, to the person that we see in the game. And that's not necessary. And again, I think it's also subverting a lot of those expectations, you know, like you look at B and she's a crocodile, a cold blooded creature. And she is initially very cold to you and standoffish. And so you're like, oh, this is just who she is, until you sort of have this subconscious realization that yet she is the one that is trying to help you and care for you and get you out of tough situations more than any other character in this game. And that is really, really interesting as well. And Angus, who is a bear, is one of the calmest, kindest, softest characters.
I love Angus so much.
When Angus helps you get the porn pop-up windows off of your laptop earlier in the game, it's
so good.
So funny.
And then I can't stress enough how absolutely hilarious this game can be.
Yeah.
I felt this way with the Big Con. I did catch myself being like, yeah, this is why people absolutely need to be playing independent games, because this is not the kind of experience that I've gotten from a AAA. Yeah. I've certainly had emotional experiences with AAA games. I'm not saying that. I mean, but at the same time, I feel like this kind of stuff, this very meditative and to some degree heart on its sleeve work, I mean, it's some of the biggest, like, and I mean, we all know video games as a medium is art, but like, for any detractors out there, it's the biggest, like, kind of shows of like, here you go.
Yeah.
Like, this is like indie film right here.
But it also kind of, and I don't mean this necessarily, like, I'm not trying to make this an insult to the game, so please don't read it that way. But it's also kind of textbook indie game cartoony characters going through deep emotional stories
that, like, this is true, but also, you know, this was one of the big ones. This is one of the ones that came out, what, 2018 or whatever, and
2017.
Yeah, this is still one of the biggies. It's like, yeah, I understand that happens, like, but we also have to keep in mind that, you know, people's attention to indie games is only about 15 years old, and I feel like, not that indie games didn't exist before then, but that's when the big boom started happening.
Yeah, I feel like the conversation started around Xbox Live Arcade, where we got things.
It certainly started, but like the conversation really started getting initiated around the time of like Indie Game the Movie, when PAX became a thing, and you had like, you know, Super Meat Boy,
which is why I bring up Xbox Live Arcade, because Super Meat Boy was
an Xbox, yes, Xbox absolutely. Live Arcade game. But also,
Indie Game the Movie is really good. You guys should watch it. It's obviously dated now because it's, you know.
Yeah, because now you're like, oh, duh. But like at the same time, I mean, you know, when we did Gone Home and had that experience, I mean, yes, there are several ways to Indie Game. There's no wrong way to eat a Reese's. We just happen to have played a couple of games that do have, you know, this great emotional resonance and or like jacking you into a time period like The Big Con did.
And this one did. There are video stores in both of these games.
Which is weird because like it's also after 2010. There's a character who mentions something that happens in 2010 as the past.
I believe the game happens in 2017 when it was released.
I think it does too. And part of that is what happens at the end that we haven't talked about.
Yeah.
And I honestly, I think that movement there is some of the most undercooked, I think, conceptually. You don't spend a whole lot on that part of the game. Like, here's your answers, and it's satisfying enough, but it does feel severely undercooked.
Or you did not get the conversations and items that made it seem
that boring. That is possible. But from what I've read on the basic thing, it's kind of what it is. Yeah. Because I got the explanation of why what was going on was going on. I was like, yeah, that is not good enough. And B says exactly that. Because they give you some weird, whatever. Yeah. This game is absolutely a must play to me. I think if anything we've said sounds interesting, or if you like narrative games like this, I'm someone who does enjoy spending their time kind of tinkering with every NPC in a Final Fantasy game in the town. Like, I want to talk to everybody. I want to figure out what's all going on. This is a game that rewards you for being that person.
Yeah, it really does. And especially once you can start walking on the power lines.
The power lines. So good.
I think we're going to close the sketchbook on A Night in the Woods. Check it out. It is currently, it's actually half price on Steam, on the big Steam sale right now. I think we kind of timed some of the Wheel of Indies for this pretty, pretty well right now. Night in the Woods, really, really interesting, really intriguing. It is definitely a narrative. It's not always a game in the way that you might think of a game, kind of like Gone Home, which, man, I love Gone Home. But oh, I also
so good.
I don't think I can play Gone Home again.
I keep meaning to, and I have every intention of doing that this year.
Well, it's not on the Wheel of Indies, but let's check out what is, because Miles, to spin the Wheel of Indies.
Here we go.
Oh, what's it gonna be? It's gonna share be screen. Dredge.
Ooh, boy. This is certainly one I've been wanting to play for a little bit. The reason I didn't is because when it came out, I was pretty heavy into Dave the Diver. And they were both fishing games. This one is a fishing game with a little bit of a twist. But I don't know much about it other than that.
I only know about it because a subreddit that I frequent has been talking about it a lot lately. It is a single player fishing adventure with a sinister undercurrent. Sell your catch, upgrade your boat, and dredge the depths for long buried secrets. explore a mysterious archipelago, which is one of the best words, and discover why some things are best left forgotten. This is available on just about everything, and it is currently on sale for half price on the Steam sale, so you can go check it out there. And that's Dredge, which was what we are going to talk about next week.
Very excited to finally play that. And which is, again, this is why I've wanted to do this, is it's forcing me to play games that I have had on my list or I had in my collection for quite some time. I think I have it on Steam, PS5. I might even have it on Switch just for the hell of it. I don't know. So I am very, very excited about this.
Yeah. So this promises to be slightly more game than the game that we had last week.
I mean, we had some game here. Come on.
I know we had a rhythm game. So with that said, gang, that is where we're going to wrap things up tonight. If you would like to find us online, you can find us in a number of places, including themoreyounerd.com, where you can find this and every other episode going back 13 years, almost 14 years. Good Lord. Oh, I need to respond to somebody that emailed in about going back through our old episodes and our RSS feed not behaving. I will send a much more detailed email to you, but RSS feeds and certain podcatchers only catalogs certain episodes. So if you want something else, we have to create a second separate RSS feed for the old episodes, and we just haven't had the bandwidth to do that. But we'll work on it. We'll see what we can do, but I can't guarantee it's going to be fast. Anyway, so themoreyounerd.com, you can message us on Blue Sky at themoreyounerd. You can email us themoreyounerd@gmail.com. That's themoreyounerd@gmail.com. You can also find me and Miles rolling dice and going on sci-fi cool magic adventures on our sister show, Cosmic Crit, where we play the Starfinder game put out by Paizo. Same people that make Pathfinder. It's like D&D in space. It's really cool. CosmicCrit.com. And if you go to CosmicCrit.com and you look in the upper right-hand corner to all of our social media links there, you can find the Cosmic Crit Discord, which is a really cool place to hang out and talk to me and Miles all day. So, with that said, gang, we're going to end the show as we always do with a rousing
nerd out. Too nerd for y'all.
Crimes.